This week, the U.S. imposed disruptive and potentially devastating tariffs on imports from Canada, Mexico, and China, immediately impacting the tea trade. Unilaterally imposing tariffs breaches the terms of existing free trade agreements and will likely result in disputes, retaliatory tariffs, and potentially compensation for the affected parties. Late in the day, the U.S. signaled temporary adherence to tariff-free categories. As I record this episode, I see significant uncertainty as the Trump administration contemplates additional tariffs and exemptions. Tea falls under the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA, which replaced NAFTA in 2020. Under the USMCA, tea typically enters the U.S., Canada, and Mexico duty-free if it meets the rules of origin requirements. To qualify, the tea must either be grown in North America or substantially processed in North America. Blending Chinese tea, for example, is not sufficient to avoid the special 27.5% tariff on Chinese goods. Tea imported from India, Africa, or Sri Lanka and repackaged for sale in the U.S. will not qualify for an exemption. A one-month exemption was granted for U.S. automakers, but the 25% tariff on imports from Canada and Mexico remains. The Trump administration also ordered a 10% tariff on Canadian energy products. China retaliated and faced additional tariffs that could reach as high as 60%. The administration has also announced, quote, reciprocal, end quote, tariffs equal to the duties and in some cases sales taxes and fees imposed by receiving countries and paid on entry. In response, Canada imposed 25% tariffs on $30 billion worth of U.S. goods, with an additional $125 billion in the coming weeks. Individual provinces also retaliated, removing U.S. goods from shelves, igniting what will likely be a protracted trade war. How will tariffs impact the tea industry? Canadian tea exports to the U.S. totaled $34 million last year. 25% tariff suggests prices will increase by $8,500,000 since virtually all duties will be passed on to either wholesale or retail customers. Consider that a 250-gram or 500-gram packet of tea lists at $17.95. It will increase to $22.45, but only for those shipping the tea to U.S. destinations. The same tea shipped to Europe or Mexico would result in a different, likely lower rate based on tariffs in force. Many customers receiving the tea will see the tariff as a customs duty to be paid to the carrier on delivery. Alternatively, retailers will include the duty in a special rate triggered by the buyer's choice of destination. If reciprocal tariffs are instituted the first week of April, U.S.-based retailers will either assign a flat rate large enough to cover the cost of individual tariffs or program their payment systems to calculate tariffs by jurisdiction, as is done for sales tax. Many will pay the customs duty on each shipment and recover that expense by raising prices because a customer who orders a packet of tea will be agitated when asked to pay an additional $5 or more for the courier to deliver the tea, in addition to the cost of shipping. One respected China-based specialty tea retailer described the above as a retail nightmare. Biz Insight. Effective March 6, the U.S. eliminated the de minimis exemption for Canada, Mexico, and China. This exemption allowed duty-free imports of goods valued under $800. On March 2, enforcement was delayed until the Secretary of Commerce can confirm that systems are ready to process and collect tariffs efficiently. Nepali banks, fearful of secondary sanctions, are no longer issuing export certificates known as CADs, cash against documents, complicating tea sales to Russia. In recent months, U.S. regulators enforcing sanctions have warned banks worldwide that facilitating transactions could result in potential measures, including asset freezes and exclusion from the U.S. financial system. The U.S. Department of the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control announced that it has broadened its sanctions framework to impose secondary sanctions on foreign financial institutions that conduct or facilitate significant transactions involving technology, defense, construction, aerospace, or manufacturing goods or services that support Russia's military industrial base. Workarounds have been in place since the invasion of Ukraine, but Nepal is more vulnerable than tea suppliers Kenya, Sri Lanka, and India, which has established a rubles for rupees trade agreement administered by international banks that continue to enable transactions primarily designed for oil and natural gas. Nepal's February placement on the Financial Action Task Force gray list is likely to further hamper trade regardless of destination. The Economic Times reports the listing has, quote, brought to fore the fact that Nepal has emerged as a haven in South Asia for money laundering owing to the absence of economic stability, lack of comprehensive and long-term vision and guidelines, weak interrogative system, lack of well-trained bureaucracy, and an open border and high levels of informal transactions with India, said people close to the matter, end quote. Nepal planter Anshu Giri, who manages Samsher Tea, writes, quote, banks are afraid of secondary sanctions, but the bigger problem is Nepal's idiotic and archaic forex control regulations. The government mandates a CAD certificate, 100% advance payment proof, or LC documents to be presented during outbound customs clearance for countries other than India. When the inward remittance is received, the funds are settled, end quote. Nepal annually shipped 1.85 million worth of tea to Russia before COVID-19 and the imposition of sanctions following the invasion of Ukraine. Exports by value have since declined to less than a million. During the first 5 months of the current fiscal year, Nepal exported 108 metric tons to Russia, valued at 58.4 million rupees, which is about $420,000. Prepayment or government-backed guarantees for CAD transactions could provide temporary relief. Giri said the threat of secondary sanctions on banks will not prevent him from trading with Russia. Prepaying is an option, but credit is preferred. Quote, the industry runs on credit, end quote, writes Giri. This week, bubble tea franchise chain Mi Shui debuted a spectacular IPO on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The share prices for the 45,000-store chain traded 47% higher than the offer price of HK$202.50, minting two multi-billionaire brothers and pushing down share prices among competitors. Eager investors bought 17 million shares, raising HK$345 billion, that's about $444 million, which was Hong Kong's largest IPO of the year. Demand was so great that the offering was oversubscribed more than 5,258 times, and shares in the international franchise were oversubscribed 35 times. Mi Shui operates stores in 11 countries with 70% of overseas revenue coming from Vietnam and Indonesia. The number of outlets exceeds McDonald's, which has 43,000, and Starbucks, which has 40,500 globally. Bloomberg News writes, quote, the share sale gives Zheng Hongshao and his younger brother Zhang Hongfu a combined fortune of $8.1 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Together, they're richer than Howard D. Schultz, Starbucks' former chief executive officer, was worth more than $6 billion, end quote. Mi Shui products sell for under a dollar on average, which accounts for their popularity with students and residents of small cities. Only 1% of the stores are company-owned. In 2023, Meshway sold 7.4 billion drinks, up 57% compared to the previous year. Servings likely topped 8 billion in 2024. According to the IPO filing, the net profit for the first 9 months of 2024 totaled 3.49 billion won. The warm reception for the company, founded in 1997 in Zhengzhou, Hainan, contrasted with declines in the share prices of competitors Guming, Baidu, and Nayuki. Regulators were concerned with a financial bubble after shares of Nayuki plummeted 90% in value following an April 2021 IPO. Meshway is the only one of the four that has seen sizable gain in share price after going public. Unlike the other chains, Meshway operates as warehouse, marketing, and distribution venture that supplies licensed products to thousands of locally owned stores. China currently has more than 380,000 new style tea outlets nationwide. Next, a tragic factory fire in a small Nepal village rallies a tea company to seek donations to cover medical expenses and to rebuild. Nepal's award-winning Jasbrae tea lost its factory to fire last week. Tea maker Sharad Subbas was injured fighting the blaze and is recovering from facial burns. The gutted factory employs 35 people and supports 200 local farmers. Nishal Banskota, founder of the Nepal Tea Collective, has launched a GoFundMe campaign to cover Sharad's medical expenses and finance rebuilding. Quote, "As a public benefit corporation, supporting farmers and producers is not just a part of our CSR, it's in our DNA. When one of us falls, we come together to lift them up," end quote, said Banskota. Donors have contributed $1,500, which is about 200,000 Nepali rupees, towards the $4,500 goal.
Produced by Adavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.